Well, the magic number tonight is 8. And so I wonder, why isn't Cal Ripken here tonight to throw out the ceremonial first pitch? That might have been a pretty good idea. Yeah, Orioles come in tonight. They've won 7 in succession. And tonight they entertain the Toronto Blue Jays in the first of a 4-game series. Now, the Blue Jays come in. They've lost 4 straight, and they've lost 10 of 12. So it's time to take advantage. You might agree. Buck Showalter and Rockabaka when we continue right after this.
Rockabaka with Orioles manager Buck Showalter. Tonight's manager's report. Buck, another big win yesterday, 7 games in a row. Miguel Castro, 3 1/3 scoreless. I know every time he has an outing like that, you're asked about the possibility of him starting, but is it just that he's so valuable in that role that it really wouldn't make much sense right now to take him out? You need a guy like that to do what he did yesterday.
Well, you know, Rock, there's some people that are really good in a come-to-the-rescue mode, but all of a sudden the water's parts and they're supposed to, you know, there's no safety net necessarily for a starter. But, you know, it bodes well for some potential down the road. You know, when is the question. Obviously, he's doing, you know, we don't win that game yesterday if he doesn't do that, and that's happened 2 or 3 times. We don't win, you know, so the flip side of that is if we had better starts, then we wouldn't have such a need for Castro. So there's a lot of different ways to look at it. You know, we're operating with a 6-man bullpen for 1 more today, and that was key for us yesterday, obviously, but been real proud of him. You know, Roger and him and Ramon have really stayed on top of some things, and you know, I think his teammates have helped him too, but you can tell this guy's in a good spot.
I mentioned earlier the club's won 7 in a row. What are some of the things that you've liked about what you've seen from the team during that stretch?
Well, you can only take the crop to the horse so many times, Rock. I don't care what anybody says. It's just hard to maintain that intensity. When you see the finish line, there's that light. But I think what guys are doing more than anything is we're just dialing up what's needed that night. If we don't get a particularly well-pitched game, then we score some runs. Or we play really good defense and turn some hits into outs and some ground balls into double plays. Manny made a great double play last night. People think that's a routine play, but it's far from it. Of course, John did what he does in redirecting the ball. But it's just been what's needed tonight to win a baseball game, regardless of how you get there.
I know it usually starts with the starting pitching. Jeremy Hellickson on the mound tonight. His last start, maybe his best since his first start here. What was he doing that last outing that was more close to what you saw the first time, not as much maybe the 2 previous?
Well, I think the extra rest helped him. He's a guy, if you look at his track record, with an extra day or two, you really get a return for it. A little extra on the fastball, his arm speed on the changeup and the curveball were better. And, you know, this guy's got a track record of competing and giving a team a chance to win. That's why we acquired him. But it's not just the rest, though. I mean, everybody this time of year can use it, but I think mechanically he stayed together over a long period of time.
We'll be back with more on the manager's report on the Orioles Radio Network. Rockabatko back with Orioles manager Buck Showalter. Tonight's manager's report, Marco Estrada starting tonight for the Blue Jays. This will be the 4th time you've seen him this year, so obviously familiar. But he's only given up 3 runs against you guys, 24 strikeouts, 20 2/3 innings. So familiar, yes, but what can you do to kind of reverse that?
Well, it's one of those things. He's one of those guys that knows, you know, what he's going to do. And if you get the baseball in the right place in the right sequence, it's you've got to capitalize on the few mistakes he makes. You know, he's a confident pitcher against us because, you know, I have to say all the time, if a hitter's on top of his game and a pitcher's on top of his game, the pitcher wins. And everybody's got some weaknesses that you can exploit. And when you get an opportunity on this guy and you get a pitch, you know, change up plays all through the count. And he's got great sell on it and great arm speed. So if he does make a mistake, you better be on it, because he's not going to make many in areas. He knows where, you know, people need to be pitched.
Rosters can expand beginning tomorrow. Do you have just at least a rough figure in your head of how many guys you'd like to bring up here and what areas need to be addressed?
Oh, sure. We're ready to go. You know, there'll be some come tomorrow. There'll be some come after the 4th when their season ends, and they'll potentially, you know, we'll have a camp going down, mini camp in Sarasota. And, you know, we're trying to get that wired down, but I've got a pretty good feel about who's going to be here tomorrow. But, you know, it's been tough. 6-man bullpen and Rule 5 pick, it really puts us at, you know, kind of almost a 23-man club, so we're looking forward to tomorrow.
We have another trade deadline midnight tonight. There was not much buzz about it. Anybody added to the club before midnight can be on the playoff roster. Do you kind of treat this deadline like that July 31st one, where you're just focused on who's here and not really giving it much thought?
Well, I'm looking for – I don't know if you're going to be able to trade for anybody any better than getting J.J. Hardy back, getting Joey Rickard back, and a couple of other guys that, you know, I know are coming tomorrow. I'm excited about getting closer to full strength because we've been playing shorthanded for quite a while.
But lastly, Bowie qualified for the playoffs in the Eastern League, and obviously there are some really intriguing prospects on that roster. How important is it for guys? I know a lot of times it's about, you know, development more so than how many games you win, but is it important to have these guys in that environment of playing in the postseason?
Without a doubt. You know, learning how to win is part of development. Anybody that says it isn't, they have bad farm clubs. And I know what the atmosphere is like around those teams. It creates a lot better atmosphere for producing and for developing and working on weaknesses when you're getting a return on the scoreboard, and that's part of it. So I know when we left big league, and we left camp every year with the Yankees, I was one of seven managers, and there were two job descriptions: develop players and win, not necessarily in that order. And I think that's important that players understand how to do that. And I'll tell you, the Frederick Club's probably having the most impressive year of anybody with all the players that have been taken from Keith Bodie. They're a game eligible for the playoffs with five to play. So we're really pulling for him. What a job they've done there, his staff.
Thank you, Bucks. Take it back upstairs to Joe Angel.
All right, Rock, thank you. You know, saving you money on car insurance has been in Geico's wheelhouse for over 75 years now. So after the game, get a quote at geico.com. Geico, it's so easy. A caveman can do it tonight on this Thursday night. Orioles and the Blue Jays in game one of a four-game series. Zach Britton picked up the save in the seventh consecutive victory last night. Britton is now 13 out of 14 this season. And, of course, he is 62 of his last 63 in save chances. Zach Britton and Mike Bordick, they got together before the game today. And you're going to hear that conversation when we continue with the warm-up show right after this.
Good to be back on the air. And the Orioles looking to continue playing their best baseball of the year and run that winning streak out of eight games. Can you believe it? The Blue Jays in town for a four-game set here at Camden Yards. And the Blue Jays, they've lost four in a row coming in. And earlier, though, today, I had a chance to talk to Oriole closer Zach Britton about the team. And, of course, starting a new save streak. Yeah, so Britton up next on the Orioles Radio Network.
Zach, Orioles on a roll right now. It seems like everything working right now for this team.
Absolutely. You know, I think especially the way the offense is performing has been a big boost. It's been, I think, able to give the, you know, the starting pitcher some, you know, a little bit more room for error and maybe a little bit more comfort knowing that we're scoring runs in bunches. And, you know, offensively at home, I think we just, for some reason, we like hitting here. I think everybody likes hitting here. I think other teams too. But there's that comfort factor when we come back here, and especially off a big win in Fenway. Being able to sweep the Mariners was huge.
Absolutely. But it seems like this has been a long time coming. And I know you talked about the Oriole offense. Jonathan Scope has been, arguably an MVP candidate this year. But the resurgence of Manny Machado seems to have just jump-started this whole offense.
Absolutely. I mean, he's the best player on the team. So for him to come into, just do what we thought he was going to do from the beginning, right? I mean, he was doing some things in the beginning of the season where you knew eventually his luck was going to turn around a little bit the way he was hitting the ball. It's been a big boost for us. I think just as a team to watch that guy, you know, defensively what he does, and then obviously offensively being able to carry our team. It's been a big reason why, you know, we're on this big winning streak.
You have a great view, obviously, out there, the bullpen of a lot of the action that happens in the game. The addition of Tim Beckham seems to have helped the offense as well, and he's not too shabby in the middle of the infield.
Absolutely not. No, he's a great all-around player. I mean, if you think about, being a first overall pick and all the tools that he's got, and he shows them. But offensively, you know, I faced him a lot in Tampa, and the way he's driving the ball the other way with power now, with authority, has been probably the biggest change that I've seen from him. And obviously he's a good teammate now, you know, knowing playing with him. But he's been a big boost for us. I mean, him coming in and just adding another guy that can swing it in our lineup, I mean, if you look top to bottom, you know, what we're capable of doing offensively, it's, you know, if you're a pitcher on our staff, you should have a lot of confidence that you go out there and you pitch, you know, a good game, that, you know, you're going to end the day with a win.
So back to the rotation again, it seems like they've just found solid footing as well. More consistent outings right now. You talked about the offense giving that boost, but I just see, I don't know, more quality to the starts. It might not be quality starts, but it seems like there's a genuine game plan and a belief right now. And it's just that pass the baton mentality. And whoever gets the ball that night, they're just going to give whatever they've got.
Absolutely. I think with pitching, and it's kind of like that way with offense, that trickle effect. You know, a couple guys put it together, a couple good starts, and you kind of want to be the, you don't want to be the guy that ruins that streak. And same thing with the bullpen. You know, a guy goes in and has a shutdown inning. You want to have a shutdown inning. And I think, you know, with the guys in this clubhouse, for some reason, once, you know, things get kind of on a roll or a couple good starts, it just seems like it's there's a flow to it, right? You know, and you know, you hate to say that, you know, maybe we're streaky a little bit like that, but when we get on a roll, you know, watch out. And I think it was a long time coming for us to start doing that because this team's better than what we showed. We had some injuries, you know, myself included, and some underperformance, and even some guys right now that probably can play a little bit better. So I don't think this is by far is, you know, the peak of where we're capable of being. I think this is just right in line with what we expected of ourselves coming out of spring.
Yeah. Okay, so now on to you. Unfortunately, the 60 consecutive saves streak over, but I want to personally tell you that I witnessed Dennis Eckersley back when I played with the A's. He led the league in saves, and it was the most dominating performance I had seen. And then I had a chance to play with the Orioles back in 97, and Randy Myers was a closer, and he led the American League that year in saves. It was one of the most dominating performances I'd ever seen, but uncomparable to the stretch you put together. I wanted to congratulate you on that, and then just your thoughts on that streak.
You know, it was kind of crazy just kind of thinking about it. Obviously, I was disappointed with how, you know, it ending the way it did. I knew eventually it probably was going to, but you know, I've been, you know, battling some injuries and then inconsistencies with myself, so I felt like, if you know, hey, if I can pitch the way like I want to pitch and find that consistently, maybe I can ride this thing out for even longer, especially, you know, getting ground balls with the defense that we have. I felt like there's a chance to extend it, you know, obviously. But, you know, it was a great run, but a lot of that had to do with the defense and then Buck putting me in situations to be successful, not overusing me. I mean, there was times where, you know, I was available to pitch and he just knew, you know, kind of in his gut that maybe I needed the day, and, you know, he didn't go to me. And I think a lot of things, you know, happened for that streak to continue as long as it did. But it's been a fun run. But at the end of the day, I mean, there's a lot of things, some great plays behind me. I think if I look back at every save, there's a few in there where the defense, I mean, just absolutely picked me up, or, you know, a guy like Weeters or Caleb did. And so it's a fun thing to look back on. I just got to start another one now. And, you know, hopefully, you know, within this month of September when it's important, you know, get on a nice roll.
Absolutely. Well, it seems like things are headed in the right direction for everybody right now. Been a lot of fun watching the Orioles here the past week, and continued success the rest of the month of September.
All right, appreciate it. Thanks, boy.
Orioles baseball up next.
And hello again, baseball fans. Joe Angel, Mike Bordick back at Oriole Park on this Thursday night in the loss column tonight. The Orioles' seven-game win streak has come to an end. And for the Blue Jays, their four-game losing streak has come to an end. And with Mike Bordy, very simply put tonight, the Orioles' offense was good enough, but the pitching tonight was not.
No. Yeah, pitching a little suspect for the Orioles tonight. Some inconsistencies from Hellickson. And last time he pitched here at Camden Yards, gave up five home runs, went up to Boston, slammed the door on the Red Sox, come back here, and boy, it just could not stop that momentum surge from the Blue Jays' offense at fifth inning. A big one. They put up a five spot.
Interesting, too, because you and I talked about it, too. Obvious that it was Josh Donaldson. The Orioles decided he was the guy who was not going to beat them. He didn't, but Morales did. Kendrys Morales.
Yeah, Donaldson.
The guy after Donaldson.
Right, yeah, Donaldson picked up three walks. And, yeah, it was pretty obvious. Pitching around Donaldson, trying to force him into expanding his strike zone. He wouldn't bite on that. They said, well, we'll pitch to Morales. His first at bat, grounded into a double play. Get out of that first inning. From then on, he just went on a tear. It was a monster night, and he accounted for every run that the Blue Jays scored. Of course, he scored the four runs and drove in seven.
Well, you score eight runs, you get 16 hits. Normally, you're going to win a ball game like that. How about Jonathan Scope? Tonight, he becomes a 100 RBI man.
Yeah, pretty impressive, and good for him. You know, it's been a great year for him, consistent all the way through, and he continues to push and come up with big hits in every ball game. It seems he's in the middle of something, whether it be defensive or offensive, but 100 RBI, that's a big-time number for Jonathan Scope, and another very strong year.
As we get to the highlights, right away, Adam Jones for Jeremy Hellickson in the bottom of the first inning, after Machado had gotten the base on balls and then stolen second base and it wound up on third base on a throwing error, he was on base for Adam Jones. 2-2 pitch, fly ball, left field corner. That ball is deep. Way back is Carrera. Way back in the corner. Wait, bit, bye-bye. Adam Jones hits one in the first row in the left field corner. It barely got out, but it did get out, and it's a 2-0 Oriole lead. So there you go. Adam Jones getting it done. And then they were able to extend the lead in the third inning. A single by Chris Davis. Actually, the second inning, Davis a single to get the inning started. And then with one out, it was Castillo with a single. And then with two outs, Beckham came up to hit, and he wound up picking up an RBI. And now the 0-1 delivery, and Beckham grounds it toward third. Tough chance. Donaldson trying to make a breakhand pickup, and he whiffed on it, and the run will score. Donaldson came charging in, and on the run, attempted to make a bare hand pickup. He never came up with the ball, so Beckham is safe. Davis comes in. It's 3-0 Orioles. There you go. So 3-0 for Jeremy Hellickson early in the game. Then Hellickson went to work in the third, and with two outs and the bases empty, he just had trouble getting that third out. Donaldson would double, and then Kendrys Morales came up, and he began his big night. He'll check Donaldson out there at second base and delivers. Fly ball right center. Well hit. Way back there. It is gone. That is a 2-run home run. It landed maybe 11 rows into the bleachers in right center. That ball was gone instantaneously, and suddenly it's a 1-run game. Yeah, it was. So they got a couple of runs on one swing. But then the Orioles came right back in the bottom of inning number 3. Scope a single, Jones a single, and then with one out, Davis a ground out to pick up an RBI, and then Trumbo cashed in. Here comes a 1-2 pitch, line drive, left center, that ball dropping, that's a base hit. Here comes Jones, he comes in with two outs. The ball back into second base, Trumbo picks up his 58th RBI, it is 5-2 Orioles. Yeah, they came right back for that 3-run advantage. But then, after Hellickson, he got his only clean inning in the 4th inning, a 1-2-3. He came out for the 5th inning. With one out and no one on, Ryan Goins a double. And then with two outs, he walked Donaldson. And then Morales came up to hit. He singled in a run. Bautista then walked, and then Montero cashed in. And the pitch. Line drive over Davis. That's a base hit. Heading for the corner. One run is in. Two runs are in to tie it. There goes Bautista to third. And the ball finally back in. It throw behind Bautista at third, but too late. Jose does get back. So that is a 2-run double. And it ties the game at 5-5. So there you go. Hellickson again had difficulty getting that third out. And then Kevin Pillar came up to hit. Now the 0-1 delivery. Line Machado cannot get to it. That's a base hit. That is down the line, and that's going to drive in two. Mancini's going to chase it down. He gets it back into third base. Pillar pulls up at second. He's got a double. He's got two RBIs, and the Blue Jays have the lead. It is now 7-5. There you go. Blue Jays with a 5-run 5th. Then in the bottom of the 5th, one out, the bases empty. The big fella got the Orioles a little bit closer. And the 1-1 delivery. Davis launches one to right center. Way back there, the big fella, waved bye-bye. Number 22 to make it a 1-run game. It is now 7-6. And here come the Orioles again. Yeah, the big fella getting it done to make it a ball game. And then came the 6th inning after Hellickson had been relieved by Michael Givens in the 5th inning. Well, Givens came out for the 6th inning, got the first two outs, but then Pierce would double, and then Donaldson came up to hit. He would walk, and then guess who came up to hit again? And Givens is ready again and delivers, and Morales launches one to deep right field. There is no doubt about this one. It hits the fence behind the flag court. That is a 3-run home run. And the Blue Jays, now in double digits, they lead it 10-6. And as it turned out, Kendrys Morales was just getting started with a 2-run homer and then a 3-run homer. And then in the 8th inning, he came up with the bases empty. And there's a high fly ball to deep center. Did he do it again? Adam Jones, he's going to jump up. Gone, a home run. Kendrys Morales has had a 3-home run night. This one is a solo to make it 11-6. And he's knocked in 7 of the 11 runs. That's a pretty good night.
My goodness.
Indeed. That's all you can say. Morales, big night, 7 RBIs. Now, the Orioles made a bid to get back in the game in the 8th inning. Trumbull, a double to get the inning started. But then with 2 outs, Beckham, a single. And then Machado, a single. And then Scope came up to hit. And that's when, he reached a milestone. And here comes the pitch. And Scope lines it out toward right. Diving is the second baseman. The ball is off the glove. Beckham keeps on running. Here's a play at the plate. The throw there gets away. Beckham has scored. Machado stops at second. And so Scope gets aboard. That'll be a base hit. And suddenly, it's a 3-run game. Yeah, they had 2 aboard with 2 outs, but that was it. They could do no more. The game for the Orioles ended with a couple of strikeouts. Here comes the 2-2 pitch. Trumbo swings and misses. Ball game is over. The streak is over. Orioles here tonight. In the loss column. First time in 8 games. Same 2 teams again tomorrow night. And Mike Bordick will continue our postgame activities. He's got Buck Showalter when we continue right after this.
Welcome back to the Browns Honda City postgame show. Well, the Orioles, a big night tonight again offensively, pounding out the 16 hits and putting 8 runs on the board. Of course, the Orioles, Blue Jays offense comes to life. The worst offense in the American League, hitting 241 coming in. They lost 4 in a row, but they managed to put a 5 spot up on Hellickson in the 5th inning. And even though that offensive work by the Orioles, they weren't able to come back as the Jays pound out 11 hits. Kendrys Morales with 3 home runs, 7 RBIs of the big night. And the Blue Jays come away with a big win. Well, when we come back, we're going to have Buck Showalter on the Orioles Radio Network. All right, let's go downstairs for Buck's postgame comments.
7 runs off Hellickson with 2 outs. Does that kind of add to the frustration that it was that close?
Yeah, he's a pitch away. He just had a lot of balls elevated and paid a price for it, but you know, we didn't particularly pitch well. Swung the bats good again tonight. Strada's been a tough pitcher for us. Our guys did a great job off of him. You're hoping you could hold him there, but we couldn't seem to stem the tide.
What was he doing differently in that 5th than he did in the first 4 innings?
He elevated some balls. Balls he usually, you know, Jeremy's a guy that locates fastball, changeups there, plays all the time. Curveballs, strike pitch for him when he needs it or take it out of the zone, and he wasn't able to do that inning. Just couldn't. He kept waiting for him to get one more out. Actually, when they scored the other run, you know, he had, I think all of them were 2 outs, like Rock said.
When you lose after a really nice streak like you guys had, is it kind of a reminder of how difficult it is to?
No, I don't need any reminder. Our guys don't. They know. We've played, 130-something games, and it's just real hard. You know, winning a major league game and putting together things, there's a lot of good things have to happen. It's not just pitching, and we did a lot of good things tonight. Just we didn't pitch well enough to win the game, obviously, but a lot of good things happened. So, you know, we finished up a good month, August, when a lot of people are really challenged physically and real proud of the months our guys put together to get back in this.
What are you seeing both today and recently from Michael Givens? It seems like those are just...
Mike's just, he's, you know, his it's kind of like Richard a little bit. They come in and it's in that job, unfortunately, it's not a hitter to kind of get dialed in. And, you know, he wasn't the only guy that walked Donaldson tonight. And, you know, that kind of, course, you look at Morales' numbers in this ballpark over his career, we knew he was going to be a challenge, but we're hoping it wasn't to the extent of tonight. We just, you know, couldn't do anything with him, and we kept walking the guy in front of him.
I guess the opposite of that, Darren's had a really nice month. Yeah. Are you seeing is it just health?
Well, that's another reminder how hard this is. You know, Mike's had a good season. You know, he's not getting the results that he's capable of right now. Darren, you know, is finally – not finally. He had some good, you know, it comes and goes. You know, they're very consistent. I mean, look around baseball. This is really hard to do, and we're lucky to have all those guys. And they're one of the reasons why we're still in this. But, you know, he'll get it going when we need it again. But Darren is a guy that very quietly has really helped us a lot through this streak of pitching like we know Darren can. We're close to having to use Chris there tonight in the ninth inning, but normal work day for him, a couple of days off, it would have been okay, but trying to stay away from that if we could. Trying to stay away from, you know, it's just a challenge. But we had, you know, two guys down in the pen with a. What's tough is when you get behind, you really, that's the challenge of handling the bullpen, is trying to get through that game and still trying to stay competitive, not only tonight but tomorrow. But we'll have some help tomorrow.
Have any of those call-ups been finalized yet?
Mm-hmm. Yes, they have. I don't know if anything's changed since the game started. I know I looked at their game box score tonight. They had a tough pitch, and I know David Washington pitched at the end. So, and we got some guys on their way. Some tonight, some tomorrow. I'm sure it's pretty easy for y'all to find out who got on the bus and who didn't. It's a bus watch, huh?
Have you talked to Dan between, you know, at the end of the game?
No, I haven't talked to him since, I think, a little bit right after batting practice. I tried to call JJ. We were going to talk after the game tonight. Wasn't able to get him, so do that as soon as we leave here. I left my phone with Bobby. See, I think he's in the shower. Okay.
Now, Buck Showalter there. Well, Orioles come out on the losing end tonight, but not because of Jonathan Scope, that's for sure. Picked up his 100th RBI tonight in the eighth inning, and driving in Tim Beckham. And how about the Orioles setting a major league record for home runs in the month of August? Yeah, Adam Jones hit 56, and Crusher Chris Davis hit 57. 57 home runs in August, pretty impressive number right there. But for the Blue Jays tonight against the Orioles, it was Morales doing all the damage. Three home runs in his 4-for-5 night, 7 RBIs and 4 runs. And tomorrow, these two teams are going to go back at it. Yeah, big four-game set here against the Blue Jays. It'll be Kevin Gausman taking his 10-9 record and his earned run average under 5 right now at 4.98, aided by a tremendous start against the Red Sox in his last outing, 7 2/3, scattering the 4 hits in his shutout. He'll be facing Joe Biagini. Has 3 wins on the year with a 5.40 earned run average, and he's been getting roughed up lately. Only a couple wins in his 12 starts for the Blue Jays. Yeah, bouncing back and forth from starter to the bullpen. Well, we'll see you here tomorrow. And for Joe Angel and our producer, Tim Barbalace, I'm Mike Bordick. Thanks for listening to Orioles Baseball on the Orioles Radio Network.